Blog Talk Radio.
Equestrian Legacy Radio. Equestrian Legacy Radio is live talk radio for all equestrians and those that love the equestrian lifestyle. I'm your host, Gary Holt. Welcome to our show today. We have a very interesting show, I think, for our audience. It's a bit of a different type show than we normally do, but I think one that is very important to talk about. And so we're very, very pleased to be able to bring this show to you today. And let me in advance encourage you to invite your friends to listen to the podcast that will be archived after this show, because I think the information that we'll share will be of great interest and of importance to folks. Let me mention before we get started and before I introduce our special guest today, a couple of things that are going on. Beginning today at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, is the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association World Versatility Show. And that show will run from today through the 27th. And then beginning on Saturday the 28th, on the 28th, the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association Futurity. And that is in its 75th year. It's a great event that we encourage people to go out and attend. A lot of people don't realize that the horses that are showing in this Futurity are from weanling to three-year-olds, and the breeders that help create this breed and continue to promote it start planning these babies that are three-year-olds 4 years ago. And so get out and support folks for the 75th Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association Futurity. And then the International Pleasure Horse Championship is in its 35th year. It starts on the 29th and runs through August the 3rd. And all of these events are held at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So beginning today, there are 10 great days of exciting events with horses in all disciplines, and we encourage you to put that on your schedule, try to attend that event. So 10 days in Murfreesboro, Tennessee at the Miller Coliseum. Well, we're very happy today to have our special guest, and that's Linda. And Linda, pronounce your last name. I don't want to botch that.
It's Grzeski.
Grzeski. And so I'm an old country boy. Sometimes I have a difficult time if your name's not Smith or Jones. And so I didn't want to mess that up. But we're really pleased to have Linda with us today. And Linda is going to be talking with us about a ministry that she has at the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, working with the Lakota. And before we start talking about that, Linda, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement in horses and how that got started?
Well, I'm an old country girl. I grew up in Alabama, grew up on a cattle farm. Actually, my family had two businesses. We had a business on the south side of Birmingham for many years, and we would just go back and forth to the farm. And then when I was 16, they sold that business, my grandfather did, and strictly lived on our cattle farm in North Alabama, and my maiden name was Faust. And I have Tennessee roots also, as my ancestors came to Alabama from Tennessee. So I went to Auburn University for my undergraduate, and my master's is from UAB. And I was a teacher by career, but married and became a trailing spouse and have now lived in six different states and worn a lot of different hats. As I moved to those different states in search of a job or career while I was there.
Well, tell me a little
now,
bit about your horse involvement. Yeah.
Well, my horse involvement started at a very early age also. When I was a child, of course, my father would just set me on his horse, but at the age of five, my grandfather bought us grandchildren our first pony, He was a Welch pony, which we named Champion after Gene Autry's horse. And my dad, when he took us home, it was a yearling. My dad sat me on his back and led me in my mother's living room just to get a rise out of her. He took me in the house on his back. And, of course, my mom said, that kid will be tired of that horse in 6 months. But little did she know that more than 50 years later, I would still have a passionate love for them. So that's how my horse love began.
That's a great story. Well, I've never ridden a horse in the house, but close to it, up the front steps and to the front door, but never inside the house. it's exciting. A lot of people, most people, as far as their involvement with horses, they've either started as very young children or seen horses on television with the Westerns, and after retirement have gotten involved with horses. But it's great that you've continued your love for horses. And as a matter of fact, you've included that love and passion for horses in your ministry that we're going to be talking about in just a minute. For our audience that's joining us today, the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota is comprised of the Oglala Sioux, Oglala Lakota?
Yes, Oglala Lakota Nation. Sioux is a French word that the Sioux actually, the French gave, fur traders gave the people. They were actually the Teton people, and there are three different groups, the Lakota, the Dakota, and the Nakota, and these are the Lakota people. I actually go to two reservations. I go to Pine Ridge and Cheyenne River, and they are both Lakota.
Okay. All right. Well, for our listeners, let me mention a few of the facts that I have researched, and it just amazed me. I could not believe that we were talking about the United States when I looked at these numbers. But in Pine Ridge, I believe there are approximately 40,000 people. The unemployment rate there is between 80% and 85%. The per capita income is just over $6,200 a year. And the infant mortality rate is five times that of our national average. And I believe that you told me that the suicide rate in Pine Ridge is 150% of the national average. So those are actually some just very startling numbers to imagine that people are living at that type of income level, and we're in the United States, that unemployment, and of course that's been something that's been a challenge across the country when we've talked about 10, 12, 15% unemployment, but 80 to 85% unemployment rate in Pine Ridge is just amazing. And then to think that people are living with an average of $6,000 a year is quite startling. So Linda, tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Pine Ridge and what your ministry is. And we're just going to have a conversation and talk about this, because I think our listeners are going to be very surprised, and you've got some good stories to tell, as well as some things that will be shocking to us. But how did you get started with Pine Ridge? What was your motivation to go there?
Well, my ministry is called Gates to Heaven, and that is a horse's gate. Those of us who are people of the horse, we know that horses have a healing spirit. I can't remember who it was that said it, but it's been said that the outside of a horse is the best thing for the inside of a man, or, of course, a woman, as we know.
Right.
Well, nowadays, with all of the new modern technology, science has validated that and has proven through a number of different studies that just being in the vicinity of horses, you don't have to ride, but just petting them, brushing them, just doing that much, calms brainwave activity. So people who have post-traumatic stress disorder, any of the anxiety disorders, ADHD, and many, many others benefit from this healing approach and therapy. People have asked me, what kind of therapy do you do? Now, I do have some mental health experience and background. I've been an alcohol and drug counselor. I've done support group work and taught in a psychiatric hospital. But I do not consider myself a professional in that regard. I don't have any state certifications. But what I do know is my horse is my best therapist. And I originally thought with my ministry that I would be just helping women and children in our area. But 4 years ago, a veterinarian friend of mine invited me to go with his first trip to Pine Ridge with Christian Veterinary Missions. There is no veterinarian on the reservation, and many of them don't have the resources to provide adequate medical care for their animals either. So once I went out there, my heart was sold out to the people. I met a lot of great people on the reservation trying desperately with very, very limited resources to make a difference for their people. And this has just been a growth process. I've been going twice a year now for 4 years. I stay anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks at a time. I've just gotten back from over 6 weeks, and I will be returning September 18th. And I try to involve the horse in just about everything I do out there because the Lakota people are known as and have called themselves for centuries the people of the horse.
What, Linda, let me ask you, when you went to Pine Ridge for the first time with this group, what did you see? And what was it that struck you from your observations there?
There seems to be an overwhelming spirit of depression on the reservation and hopelessness that they're just, it's so hard to have a better way of life or see themselves being able to have a better way of life. But I saw people that were very open and loving and giving and were so grateful that we came. Very precious people, precious, and so grateful that we were coming to help. And they love relationships and just listening to their stories, validating them by simply coming to visit and listen. People here cannot understand how limited their resources are and the opportunities to do any better. Most of the people there live in trailers. There are some newer homes that are built, but the vast majority live in trailers. And I have a friend that's helping one grandmother that's feeding 13 grandchildren.
Wow.
So it's just an overwhelming need out there for many resources. And the horse is our connection. It's our starting point. In the 70s, the government came in and built little clustered housing developments all over the nation, the reservation. And this has made the children in those little developments more like city children, that they don't have the access to horses as the children that were scattered upon the reservation do. So I find that over half the children in our horse and Bible camps that we do in the summertime have never even been on a horse.
My goodness. Well, if you would paint a picture for us as to the size of the reservations that are out there, what kind of land area are we looking at?
It is over 100 miles across the reservation, no matter what direction you go. So it's a very large landmass. It's for the women out there, it's 75 miles or further to the closest Walmart from any point on the reservation.
Wow, that would drive some people crazy here.
There's no bowling alleys on the reservation. They don't have a lot of no skating rink, none of the fun everyday resources that people look towards. So they really look forward to us coming and providing the services that we do.
Well, what now? Of course, Pine Ridge is where you started. You mentioned that you also work with the Cheyenne River Reservation or community. How close is Pine Ridge to Cheyenne River?
They're 4 hours apart. Cheyenne River is north and a little bit east of Pine Ridge. It's about the same land mass, yet the population is far smaller. It only has about 5,500 people. It's much more of a ranching area, mm-hmm. but has still some of the very same poverty and low unemployment issues. I think their unemployment rate is 75%, so they have a few more people employed, but not many.
Right. Well, I think that I was reading, I did a little research on Pine Ridge and that area, and I believe that I read that perhaps the reservation, as far as land mass, was the size of maybe Delaware and Rhode Island. I mean, that's quite an area. And I know that a lot of us are just really not aware of how the reservation structure is and how that fits in as far as government. Of course, it's in South Dakota. Do they have their own tribal government? And I believe I believe that was part of the problem that was encountered in 1973 with the Wounded Knee incident, was some mishandling of tribal power. And do you know a little bit about that?
I don't want to go into the political issues of that. I try to keep out of the local politics and let the Lakota people handle their own. But yes, they have had difficulties with that. I simply come to help the children and the women and to give them some skills and some tools and some hope and encouragement and provide some resources. I do take food to some people sometimes. That's not a huge part of our program. A big thing that I do is, even though there are hundreds and hundreds of horses on the reservation, they have a very limited income for purchasing good horse equipment and tack. So I run a continuous tack donation. I take horse warmers. I take brushes and grooming supplies. I'm always in need of new halters and lead lines and bridles, these sort of things that I take for the people.
Okay.
So I try to be a support person and stay out of their own political situation.
Okay. Well, and I didn't want to open up a political can of worms on that, but I think that, if I'm not mistaken, they have their own tribal government, and then they have some federal assistance. I don't know whether there's how much the state is involved in that, since the reservation is separate. I mean, are you aware of how that's structured? And not to get into the politics, but
I don't believe that the state has much. I know they're under the same governing laws as the rest of the state if they leave the state. Little things like, if you're on the reservation, they may not have to have a tag on their vehicle, but once they leave the reservation, they have to have a tag on their vehicle, that sort of thing. So they are under the same governing laws of the state. It is federal. The school system and the health care system are federally funded.
Okay. All right. And we talked, you and I talked for at quite a length the day before yesterday, and our conversation was fascinating. I thought we'd talk for about 15 minutes about the show, and it was over an hour and a half. So I promise our listeners we won't go that long today. But talk just a little bit about what your programs are and how you get started with these folks. And I know that you mentioned some pretty startling numbers to me as far as the situation that the women are in there.
Yes. Without trying to say too much to the negative, most of the women all agree with me that approximately 90% have suffered some kind of abuse on the reservation. And to go back up from that, our government created this problem. One of the things it did was establish a boarding school system, which only was eliminated in the 1970s. And that's one of the positive things that came out of the AIM movement. But this boarding school system was either a government-ran school or a church-ran school. And the government would come in, and the children were ages of 5 or 6 years of age, take them out of their home and put them in the boarding school. The atrocities and abuse that came out of these schools was horrendous. And that's very easy to find information about it. So, of course, this creates a dysfunctional society when you have people who have suffered such abuse. And the abusers continue to be abusers because they don't understand. And there has to be some intervention and some reteaching and retraining. We have to relearn, and we have to face the past and heal from it and relearn. So these abusers, as I said, have become abusers themselves. Those were abused.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what we're doing in our situation, we do the horse and Bible camps for the kids, where we bring the horses, and I have groups that come and help me, and we do it similar to what churches do, a VBS, and we do a circuit program, and one of the parts of that circuit is the horse, but then they have arts and crafts, they have recreation, they have Bible time, they have music. These are our day camps for the children. Then I've developed a recovery-based program for the women. It's a comprehensive program. It is similar to a 12-step or AA, but it also incorporates some of the more modern and research and teaching materials and tools that we now have that we may not have had in the past. Since I have to cover a lot of material in a short time and a lot of different issues, it's not as in-depth in certain areas, but we cover addictions, we cover abuse, we cover codependency. I've gotten tremendously positive response from all the women who came through our program this summer, and I will be going back in the fall and presenting the second part, which is on overcoming abuse. This summer, we did the program on addictions, and this fall we'll be doing on overcoming abuse.
Well, I mentioned this to you the other day, and I'll just share this with our listeners. I normally have our shows scheduled for at least a month or further out in advance. And today, as of last week, I still wasn't certain as far as what this show would be about. And I just happened to watch a PBS program, and it was on Pine Ridge. And it was a very informative show. And then you and I didn't know each other. We had been connected through a couple of social media sites and maybe liked some of our statements, but we hadn't talked before. But I was aware of you, and I was aware of the programs that you were doing with Pine Ridge, and so I wanted to invite you to be on the show. One of the things that was brought out on the PBS program that I watched was the fact that with the lack of jobs there, you know, what is it that people have to do during the day? And particularly with the young men, it was, well, we sit at home and drink beer or get involved in drugs. And how large a problem is that? And for these folks, and I don't know if it's as prevalent with the women as it is the men. You might address that.
I don't have any of the current statistics on that and would not want to quote, but it is a huge problem. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is go there and see the White Clay area. And if you Google White Clay, you'll see a lot of the controversy that's going on. There's no alcohol sales allowed on the reservation, but it borders on Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And so these alcohol-selling establishments have been set up right there on the border, so you're walking distance to purchasing. And it's very, very sad, but they're driven by the hopelessness and by the post-traumatic stress disorder that so many of them are still suffering from is part of the driving forces behind this. I've found very positive response to the recovery program, people wanting help, people wanting a better way of life, and just needing a little bit of help to get there. Part of what I do in my ministry also, just as it presents itself, last year a store was closing in my town here in Columbia, and they gave me 66 pairs of brand-new shoes. So
wow.
I was able to take brand-new New Balance shoes and cowboy boots to the reservation and distribute to people. I also like to have things for the children, such as they're constantly needing new tennis shoes and new socks and new underwear. That's a constant need among children. And we have a lot of mothers or grandmothers raising children by themselves there.
Well, of course, with the income level as low as it is, you know, it's really hard for people to provide just the basic necessities. I think you shared with me that many of the people there had no running water, and many people had no electricity.
That's
as
correct.
Well.
That is correct. That is correct.
So as far as population area, are there more folks that are living in town or scattered on the outskirts? And I'm going to ask you to share a story in just a minute about a young lady that you met after her graduation. But how are the people located there? Most of them in city or out in the area?
Well, it's there are several different little population areas around. It's kind of like saying Columbia, Lawrenceburg, Lewisburg. Those are the areas where I told you that the government came in and established those little clustered housing projects.
Right.
Well, they're on the
right.
reservation. You have a number of those scattered around. You have Potato Creek. You have Porcupine. You have Manderson. You have Wombly. You have them scattered all over the reservation. So the majority of people do live in those smaller towns, but certainly not a town in our understanding of a town. Pine Ridge Reservation also has the town of Pine Ridge, and that
okay.
is the main town on the reservation. It does have a grocery store and a couple of gas stations, a Pizza Hut, a Subway, a taco place, and a coffee shop. That's the reservation. That's the town.
Okay.
So the largest population is centered in the town of Pine Ridge itself, and that's one of the reasons my ministry is now partnered with Lakota Baptist Church there, and they have a bunkhouse for us to stay in. And I love staying there because the children and the women and the men will come and visit us all in the evenings. And we're able to really establish ourselves there and meet everyone and really get to know each other. But
well,
there are people scattered everywhere in the country, too, rurally, all over the reservation.
Right. Well, tell us while we're talking about that. Let's tell me a little bit about that story about the young lady that I think she had graduated from. Was it the
She hadn't graduated. She was attending Oglala Lakota College, which is in the community of Kyle, which is
okay.
on the far north north part of the reservation, away from where I was staying. But they will allow me to come and make copies of my program for the women there, free at the college. So I do a program in the jail also. We do a full week-long all-day recovery program. So I was there making copies, had a couple of friends with me, and as we were leaving, there was a young woman walking out the driveway of the college, and I went, oh, my gosh, I wonder if she's having to walk home. So I stopped and spoke to her and found out that was indeed the case, and she had to walk more than 20 miles from Kyle to Rocky Ford. I told her that if she wanted to come and have dinner with us, we were going to eat at the motel across from the college. There's one motel on the reservation, and it's across from the college, that afterward I would take her home. So we went in, and we all ordered our meal, and she did not eat hardly a bite. She just poured out her heart to us. She was just so ready to share. And she had been married, and her husband had been killed in a car wreck. She had two children. Two small children, and she was now living with her grandmother and trying to get an education so she could have a better way of life. And she was having to walk or hitchhike over 20 miles one way to go to college.
Wow.
So we took her home. That day we took her home.
Well, and I guess that was a daily event for her, wasn't it, to, you know, 40-mile round trip to go to school?
Yes, yes. Oh. But, of course, school was out for the summer. That was her last day to be there for the summer.
Yeah. Well, that's just touching, and it's you know, I don't know how many people around here would walk 20 miles to school. I think
that takes determination.
Well, it takes a great deal of a determination, and it also shows a great desire to improve your life. What are the opportunities for these folks after they come out of school?
Well, for most of them, we'll have to leave the reservation. There's very limited there. Unfortunately, last year, during Christian Veterinary Mission Week, a virus was going through, and a number of us got to visit the local emergency room at the hospital. And one of the nurses who was precious in taking care of us said she had gone through the college and had gotten her education there, and that they had even taken them to the Mayo Clinic for training, which was wonderful. So they are doing, the reservation system is doing what they can to educate their people and to get them out of this. There's just the lack of jobs. I mean, that's the whole issue. Not enough jobs, and they're so far away from any place to work.
Well, what is, and I think we talked about this too when we were talking the other day, what's the closest major city where there might be opportunities for people to try to find some work?
Rapid City. And that's 75 miles from just about anywhere on the reservation. You've got about a 75-mile drive.
Wow, wow. Well, of course, with 80-85% unemployment on the reservation, there just is not a lot of opportunity for folks there. Talk a little bit about your horse and Bible camp and with a little detail about that.
Well, one of the things that I have found so amazing, and to be honest, 10 years ago, if someone had told me I would be doing this, I would have laughed. But it's definitely a God-ordained and God-called and God-providing program. But as I have researched and come to understand more the Lakota faith, I find it very, very compatible with our Old Testament teachings in the Bible. And where in the past the government and the churches tried to throw everything of their culture out and say they were terrible and evil, I've tried to show them the commonalities. And I have friends who are very gifted with the computer and create beautiful flyers and handouts for me to validate their culture and who they are as a people and to tie us together as God's children. They do believe in one creator God, which I myself do also. And we build on it from there, and his love. It is his love that draws us. When God called me into this, he clearly gave me the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:18, and told me this was what I was to operate under. And that scripture is, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And the word reconcile doesn't mean to bring together something for the first time, but it means to bring back together. The picture of it is to bring back together something that was together and for some reason was broken apart.
Right. Well, how does your horse and Bible camp work?
We operate partnering now with Lakota Baptist Church. We worked at two other places on the reservation in the past, but Phil, this is going to be the best way to meet the needs of the most people and have the best facilities. We are partnering with Lakota Baptist Church, and I have church groups that come with me to help, and the volunteers will be set up at the church. We register the children, and then we divide them up into different groups, and we do like a circuit program. So three of the groups will stay at the church, and one group is transported to me. I'm about 2 miles down the road. A friend on the reservation has a very nice round pen, so we do the horse in her round pen. They bring one group down for an hour. We do horse in the round pen. They take them back and bring another group, and we rotate that during the day so that all the children have a time to come to horse. We teach them the care of the horse. We teach them grooming skills. We teach them basic horsemanship skills as well as putting them on the horse and letting them have their fun time of riding in the round pen.
Right. What kind of reaction have you seen from these kids when they start interacting with the horses?
Overwhelmingly positive smiles from ear to ear. One of the most amazing thing is the kids that will come who want to get on that horse, yet they're terrified. Several times we've actually had to hold a child's hand and walk around the ring with them. And we have a leader. We have someone who leads the horse. I help every child get on and off with a step stool. And we have a leader who leads the horse, but many times we'll have a walker, too, walking sometimes on both sides until they gain their confidence. And from Monday to Wednesday, the growth that we see in those children is amazing. And then I emphasize to them, you know, when you overcome your fear in one area, you find you can overcome your fear in other areas.
That's great. That is great. And then, of course, they have their Bibles. School and are involved in that as part of the process as well. So, talk a little bit more about the recovery program that you have for the folks there.
We're doing a week-long program in the jail, and as I said, it's a comprehensive program. It is a 12-step faith-based program, but we incorporate a lot of medical advice also. And knowledge. My doctor, I call her my doctor. She's really a physician's assistant. Her specialty is women with mental and emotional health needs. She accompanies me and helps me with the program at the jail. So I do have a medical person on staff with me.
Great. That's great.
I'm not there by myself. And we do try to give them as many tools and as much information as we can to cover a wide variety of issues. As I've said, we're there a short period of time. We can't do everything, but we try to give them as many tools to help them, and I also share with them resources where they can gain other help and information once we do leave. And I try to partner them up with different church groups and other people on the reservation. There are good people there on the reservation working hard to make a difference for their people, and I try to work with these people that are there full-time also.
Well, you mentioned that they do have some, I think, federally funded hospitals and as well as the school system. I was reading that I think I saw that the average mortality or average lifespan for the males are 48 and maybe 52 for the females. Is our health services fairly available for folks there?
Yes, they are. Dr. Murray Smith here in the Middle Tennessee area, he is retired now, but a number of years back I had the great privilege of him teaching me, and I had one of his teaching DVDs also. He is one of the foremost addictionologists in our nation. In mm-hmm. that teaching DVD, he made the statement that addiction is most closely related to the disease of diabetes. And the biggest other health issue on the reservation is diabetes. It's rampant. It's just epidemic there on the reservation. So not only are they struggling with their poverty and the poor diets that are available for them because of the lack of income and money to purchase healthy food and availability to have a car and transportation to get to those healthy food sources is another issue. Then they develop diabetes from just poor diets and health habits.
The land area around there, and I think I read that there was, you know, just a small section of that reservation that was conducive for agriculture. Do the folks that are in Pine Ridge and the surrounding areas, are they able to develop gardens? Do they have the skills and the knowledge to try to produce for themselves?
Not many. Very, very limited. In fact, in the town of Pine Ridge, in the area where I'm at, I have not seen a garden there at all.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that there's not gardens scattered out on the reservation. And now, I did have an older friend of mine. She said that prior to World War II, they were doing better because they were living in family groups and they were having their own small farms with their own cow and their own chickens and their own little garden area. But that the biggest problem started, she felt like, after World War II, when so many of the men came back with post-traumatic stress disorder and alcoholism. And then it's just the problems have just escalated from there.
Well, is there any type of program that you know of that is in place, or would there be a need for a program where someone came in and helped teach gardening skills?
I would think that would be a welcome thing, especially with the children. I think that would be a great thing to have a community garden.
Yeah. I notice, you know, in some of the major cities, there are community gardens for the city dwellers. There's a program called Square Foot Gardening where people are taught to build 4x8 squares and one or two of those are able to provide food for a family for a major part of the year.
I know that I have a friend on the reservation that she's very interested in hydroponic gardening and actually went to a week-long workshop in that. The problem is having the resources to establish that on the reservation and the other individuals with the skills that are necessary to really get something like that going.
Well, and that might be something that could be considered by some of the extension services or people that might be involved in teaching those types of things to get involved and maybe partner with you in helping get some of that done. I think healthy minds, healthy bodies can certainly make a major difference and help to eradicate some of these things. You know, if you're busy with your garden, you might not have as much time to be depressed and just a thought that I had, and we also talked about the lack of job opportunities. I think we talked about maybe some young person that you met that was trying to develop an internet business, or we talked
that
about
that was
a
young lady, things. The young woman that I talked with you about prior. That's her goal, is to develop an internet business so that she can stay at home and raise her children, but have her own internet business.
Okay. Well, and I think part of that we talked about was just the fact of educating people as far as the way that they might be able to do some of those things. And,
yes, and the college does have a program where they're trying to encourage entrepreneurship. They recognize that that is the way for people to lift themselves up out of this. It's just that they're so very isolated there and have been isolated from the main part of our society for many years. One of the things that may surprise many people to know is there's a huge amount of veterans on the reservation. The last statistic I read was that 1 in 8 Vietnam veterans were Native American.
Wow.
One of the things I'm pleased and blessed to be part of is the Crazy Horse Memorial Ride for Veterans. It's held every year the first week of June. It starts at Fort Robinson, Nebraska, and it's a 4-day ride, and it ends at the town of Pine Ridge on that following Thursday. And it is a privilege to be part of that. It was started out 15 years ago by Bam Brewer to honor Vietnam veterans, and has grown to be a program to honor all veterans and to promote alcohol and drug-free lifestyles and positive character building and relationships. And we have normally around 300 or so riders on this ride participate.
That's great. Now, are those primarily Lakota, or are they
primarily
people from outside?
Primarily Lakota. There will be a few of us outsiders like myself, but primarily it's for the Lakota, and probably 80% are children and young people.
Okay.
So they're always needing responsible people who will come and help and who will provide resources necessary to get the kids to the ride and watch the kids and help them along the way also. It's quite a challenge, and Bam and his crew do an awesome job feeding everybody 3 meals a day and moving them from one location to the next. They really do an incredible job.
Well, that is fantastic. We've got a caller, and we want to take this call so that our caller doesn't have to wait too long. I do want to mention this and remind me about this, Linda, but we have a program with the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association called Just Say Woe to Drinking Drugs and Bad Decisions. And Ernie Brubaker and Ranger T. Walker are the representatives for that. So that's a program that you might want to take a look at and see if you can incorporate that into what you're doing. But let me take this caller and see who we have.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi there. This is Shannon calling from Horse Trails Across America, actually, to talk to Linda.
Well, hello, Shannon.
Hi, Shannon.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, Linda. I have just got to tell you, I am enjoying this show so much. You know, I saw Gary throw this up on Facebook the other day that you were going to be on there, and the title just kind of caught my eye. And hearing your story of what you do is just really fantastic, something very near and dear to my heart. And I just, listening to it just kind of got my heart getting tugged on, I guess. And I was just curious, how did, and I didn't get until about the first 10 minutes of the show, how did you get this ministry going? What was the connection that got it started?
Well, when I was invited to come out there 4 years ago with my veterinarian friend on his first veterinary mission trip there, and
okay.
At the same time I was invited there, my son was actually a student at Belmont University in Nashville, and they had their first ever Native American symposium, and they allowed me to come for the workshops, and they were taught by different Native Americans from various tribes, and one of them was from Pine Ridge, and he and I developed a relationship, and just talking with him more and seeing the need, and really my heart, when I found out the high suicide rate among the young people, I just knew I had to go and try to make a difference. And I believe we are doing that, not just myself. It takes a lot of people working together. I tell everybody, I come from a background, too. I was a high school and college coach, and I learned a long time ago the benefit of teamwork, because together everyone achieves more. And I try to work on building teams that will come out there and work year after year to make a difference in the lives of the people and invest in the people there. And We're also trying to encourage people on the reservation to come together as teams and work when we're not there.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, how big is your ministry so far? How many people have you had coming through volunteering there?
Oh, my goodness. I have to think about this.
That's a good question.
That's a good question. This summer I had probably 35 people.
Oh, wonderful.
Probably 35 people over the summer.
Very, very neat. And is that, are those people that you find in your area that end up going out there, or how do you reach out to come volunteer?
Most of them come to do the Horse and Bible Camp, of course. They come under the leadership of a church. Now, several of them come from different churches, but under one church leadership person who puts his team together under our guidance. The first thing we want people to understand, we're not going out there to fix or rescue anybody. We're coming out there in the love of Jesus. We'll share some skills, some tools, and, you know, do what we can for relationship building. But we come as a servant. We come as a servant, serving each other and serving the people. That's one way people come in. I have people from other states who actually fly in who have built a relationship with me, and after we've talked about things and they understand the needs and the particulars of the people there, we want to come in a very respectful manner toward the Lakota people. They've been very, very hurt and damaged in the past, and we certainly don't want to do anything to exacerbate that or cause them more pain or embarrassment.
Sure, absolutely. I know. I think one of the biggest misconstrued, pieces of information with so many Indian reservations is, you know, so many people go, well, they're funded by the government, and you know, they have what they need, and it's just a shame that they do with it what they do with it. That so many times, like you've obviously found out, and you're bringing to light that that's not the case. You know, they don't have the means that they need to live by, and they're not giving the direction. So what you're doing, I think, is wonderful. And I can tell you, I will be in touch with you.
Well,
I love to hear your story, and it's, yes, definitely something that I would love to learn more about, and hopefully one day to be able to step in and do something with you. I just think it's great. I really do.
Well, please visit my website, and you can find it by just searching on Google for Gates to Heaven, and that's a horse's gate, G-A-I-T-S, Gates to Heaven. It has pictures, it has blog write-ups, it has a way to contact me, and be happy to talk with you further.
Wonderful. I will be doing that.
Let me do a plug for Shannon's group just a minute. And Shannon started a group on Facebook called Horse Trails and Camping Across America. And when I first discovered that group, there were around 1,800 members, and it's grown to well over 6,000 and just continues to grow. If you're on Facebook, take a look at that. Linda, I know that you're a member of that group. But it's been a great group with a lot of great information. Shannon is a very impressive young lady, and she has some great plans to expand that for the members. And there are a lot of really, really good folks on there. One of my hopes, Shannon, was that by making people aware of the need and inviting Linda on this program, that we could encourage people to become involved, and
we'd love to see
HTCAA get involved with that. We're going to talk in just a little bit later about how people can get involved and how they can contact Linda, because as she mentioned before, they need TAC for the Lakota people. They need clothing. There may be some need for good food, and there are some challenges in doing those things, but we want to talk about that. Let me also mention, too, that that Shannon's group will be joining us in the next month, and we're going to have a segment called Tales from the Trails, and I think there will be some interesting stories that people can enjoy from members on her group about the trails and their experiences with people and places here in the United States. But I expect that we may hear some tales from the trail from South Dakota and Pine Ridge and Cheyenne River one day. So anyway, I appreciate you calling. You're welcome to stay on the call as long as you'd like to. You're great with asking great questions, so you're welcome to continue to stay with us. Linda, let's go back just a minute and talk about a couple of other things. Now, you mentioned some kind of a race.
Oh, they are, you know, as I said, the Lakota are very much a horse culture. So throughout the year, they have horse races and games for the children on the reservation. And what I'm trying to do is to that what they like to do, the kids that win these horse races and games, and there's several different groups on the reservation that sponsor them, they like to give them a little prize, like a new halter or a new bridle or something. So I'm trying to get people to donate these that we can send out there to these individuals so that they'll have these as prizes to give for the children.
Well, that's great. Now, tell me, I think, and I may have this confused, but did you tell me that there might be as many as 300 people participating in
The Crazy Horse Memorial Ride? That's how many average on the Crazy Horse Memorial Ride, 300. Now, as far as the horse races and games, there's that many or more scattered around the reservation that participate, yes. It's a huge amount.
Well, are those at a particular time of the year that those are done?
They're done throughout the year, and they have a number of different rides that they do other than the Crazy Horse Ride. They have the Sobriety Ride that they do is another big one, and then they have the Veterans Ride that they've just done, and the Bigfoot Ride is done it in the wintertime, in the dead of winter, and it's several days where they follow the trail of Bigfoot down to Wounded Knee.
Wow.
They're an amazingly resilient people and the core people there who are trying so hard to keep their kids off of alcohol and drugs and provide alternatives really need our help and encouragement.
Well, and you and I were talking, I think it was Tuesday, about the fact that the reservation would be a great ride, a great place for people to come and ride, that perhaps there was one gentleman that tried to start something and maybe because of lack of business skills it wasn't quite as successful, but talk about that just a little bit, maybe the opportunities that there are to help in establishing something like that.
I've talked with several people on the reservation now, and the biggest problem is even though the land is their land, it's not their land because it's held in trust by the government, by the federal government, so they don't have clear title to do a mortgage such as we might be able to do the necessary funding to start a business. Because what I've tried to get them to do, my husband and I are big trail riders. We love to go to Big South Fork. We love to go to Missouri to a place called Big Creek Trail Rides.
Right.
We're going in October to Caney Mountain in Arkansas. But these are established horse camps with water and electric hookups, with bathhouses, with food resources, services with even some of them have rooms or motel-like rooms or cabins for people to stay in who don't have a living quarter trailer.
Right.
There's nothing like that available on the reservation. And I would love to see someone come in and partner with a couple of people on the reservation to get something established because it is absolutely some of the most beautiful country you could ever hope to ride in. Just gorgeous. And a lot of the land is tribal land that you would be able to ride on. So there's an unlimited amount of riding places. They just need the resources and the help to get something established. And that would definitely involve more people having jobs and could even include the culture in the evenings with storytelling and dancing and music. It would be an awesome thing.
Well, I think there's a great opportunity for people to go in and partner with some of the Lakota to help really set up a business plan and help start some of these things. Tom C. is going to be on the show in a few weeks. We're going to do a special program about a ride that occurs in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, to raise funds for the American Heart Association. And Tom's a super guy, and I'm going to encourage Tom to maybe take a look at doing a program on Best of America by Horseback. I think that would be a terrific way to expose a large number of people to the opportunities that are there. And, you know, it seems that educational and assistance, unselfish assistance for the right purposes, is something that's really needed to help the situation that's there. You know, with your unemployment rate, with the lack of things for people to do, it all contributes to states of depression, suicide, drug, alcohol abuse, other problems that with some assistance could be reduced to a level that we haven't seen for a long time. So,
well, one of the things in my ministry I do need to state now is that this is an all-volunteer ministry. I do not take a salary for the work I do, and the people who come on board do not get paid. They come as volunteers. We're an all-volunteer ministry.
Well, that's great, and too many times people have tried to take advantage of folks, and so it's great that people are doing things for the right reasons, to share and to love people and to help them have better lives. So we appreciate that very, very much. Kind of summarize for me, number one, what can we do to help? How can we get in touch with you? And what thoughts would you like to leave us with as far as assisting and the needs, the greatest needs that the people have there?
Number one, the best way to become more informed about what I do and who I am is to go to my website, Gates to Heaven, and that's a horse's gate, G-A-I-T-S, Gates to Heaven, and you'll be able to read my blogs, you'll see pictures, and you'll have a more comprehensive understanding of what I've been doing out there. The needs, I'm on horse tack. I don't want trashed out stuff. I'm going to be very honest. If you don't want your granddaughter using it, I don't want it. I prefer newer things. I think most people can afford to donate a bridle. Most people can afford to donate a halter and a lead line. Most people can afford to donate some horse grooming supplies or for me to take, and I give them away. I just give them away to different people all over the reservation. Last year I had left some things with a teacher on the reservation. The day I left, she said two little boys rode up on ponies, said they did not have bridles. They had old ropes on them. One of them, she said, was rotten and about to fall apart, and they thought the horse camp was the next week and found out they had just missed it and were so disappointed, but she was able to give each of them a brand-new bridle for their ponies.
That's great.
And I was able to do the same thing this summer for a little girl at Cheyenne River who's was living with her grandmother, her and her four siblings. The grandmother died of an aneurysm, and then the aunt and uncle who were going to take care of them who lived next door, they were killed in an automobile wreck. Mm. And all that happened within 2 months of my coming to the reservation this summer, and I was able to give her a brand-new bridle. And we also gave her, through the ministry, some brand-new cowboy boots for her birthday, which was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's
so
great.
These are the kind of things we're looking to do to encourage others and just let them know they're loved. Here in our area, it's hard to understand. We have people on every corner. We have churches within a couple of blocks of each other. But they're very isolated. They're a long way from anything and from any help. And it is easy to get depressed when you're isolated like that.
Well,
if I could step in real quick, Gary, I would love, as part as a horse trails and camping, to work with you in the future to do some sort of a donation drive. I can't imagine that we wouldn't have a good group of a handful of people that can find extra halters and bridles and saddle pads and whatever. So I truly would love to step in and work something out with you that we could kind of get something going and work on that, you know, whenever it's convenient for you to get together with me. I really would love to do something like that.
That's great. Well, just, you know, message me on Facebook and we'll start the process.
All right. Sounds good. I'll be with you.
All right. Well, and this is the kind of response that we were hoping that we could generate from doing this special show today. You know, I think you told me that the kids were delighted to see you coming back, and did a few of them ask if they could go home with you?
Oh, yes. They always ask if they can come home with me, and this year I did bring a puppy home. My husband told me he was about ready to kill me. No more mouths to feed, but he's my little reservation puppy. His name is Snow Dog, and he's kind of my tie to the children. I look at him, hold him, and pray for my kids out there, and can't wait to see them when I get back in September. Yeah, the kids will get to you real quick.
Well, that's great. Well, it's, you know, people can appreciate the fact that they're genuinely being loved and cared for the right reasons. And so, Linda, we appreciate so much the work that you do to reach out and to help both the children and the women that are going through so many challenges today. And I was thinking this morning, a lot of times people are just out of sight and out of mind. And to make people aware of the fact that there are people here in this country that really have needs that need to be addressed. And I know that people try to help, but there's still much to do and a long road to ride to accomplish that. So I want to invite you to come back after your trip in September to tell us a little bit about what that was like this time. I hope that we'll hear a report of just an outpouring of support for what you're doing and what you continue to do. I know we can count on Horse Trails and Camping Across America to do their part because, as I said, they're a great group of folks. If you're on Facebook, look up Horse Trails and Camping Across America and join that great group of people. Linda has a Facebook page that is Gates to Heaven. That's the Ministry of the Horse. And I'm sure she'd have would appreciate you liking her page and staying up to date on that, as well as her website and her blog. And again, that's Gates to Heaven. Is it .com?
.org. It is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry.
Great. All right. So gatestoheaven.org. And I think also, did you tell me you have a PayPal account set up so that people could contribute dollars?
Yes, I do. They can go right through PayPal and access that on the website. All the money does go directly to the ministry. There are no salaries paid through this ministry. We do not.
Okay.
I had thought originally that I might do that. I actually joined a nonprofit center, looked into foundation grants, and God just really spoke to my heart. And I just felt really impressed that this should be all volunteer. We should be coming in love and no other reason, to love and serve each other, our brothers and sisters who've been alienated from us and has suffered such abuse. No people group in the world can say they have suffered more than our First Nations people. It just has not happened. We need to be part of the healing.
Well, I was thinking this morning that these are the forgotten people, the invisible people, and we appreciate you bringing attention to that. So, Linda, thank you so much for sharing with us. Shannon, thank you for your phone call, and we look forward to doing great things with Horse Trails and Camping Across America in the future. Let me encourage our listeners to get involved with this ministry. I know that there are demands for people's time and money in many areas today, but I can't think of a cause and a greater need than what's experienced with these folks. So thanks to both of you ladies for coming on the show today and sharing with us. Let me remind our listeners that we'll be back next Thursday with, I think, a very interesting show on Equestrian Legacy Radio. I also invite you to follow us on Twitter at Legacy_Tennessee. We're on Facebook at Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we'd like to have you join that page and keep up with what's going on. And then also our website is equestrianlegacy.net. And so you can find information about upcoming shows there, and we have a great schedule of shows lined up for August, so we encourage you to do that and join us again. So thanks for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Join us again next week, and remember, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.